Chapter 15. Crimson and Gold. The last silver saint frowned, tattooed fingers steepled at his chin. Now, I'll be the first to admit this looked bad. Phoebe was collapsed on the furs, naked and bleeding, one hand to her throat. My chin was red and slick, her blood drooling from my fangs, and I knew my eyes must be flooded with it too. I was the son of a vampire to these folk, trusted by none and hated by most, and Phoebe's scream, while one of passion, might easily have been mistaken for otherwise. It's a slender line between pleasure and pain, Coldblood. The historian smiled, dark and wicked. And with our kind, there's no line at all. The last silver saint shrugged. All that by way of saying, I'm not surprised Bryn tried to kill me. A massive paw closed around my neck. Phoebe whispered faintly as the big Urfwill hauled me off the stone like I was a bag of cotton, her eyes burning in rage. Smoke rose from her skin as it began to burn from the silver at my throat, and with a blistering curse, she drew back one massive fist and sent it crashing into my face. I flew backward like a shot from a cannon, striking the tower wall. Phoebe cried my name. The bricks were blasted to rubble around me, white light in my skull. And naked, senseless, I flew out into the night, tumbling through the dark below. I fell 20 feet onto the roof of the Elderhold, broken stonework raining around me, tiles cracking beneath me. I'd time to roll onto my back, shake my ringing head, before I saw Bryn flying out of the torn wall behind me with a blood-drenched roar. I rolled aside, gasping. But the dancer struck the roof so hard, she smashed clean through, shattering timber and tile to splinters and dust. And as the ancient ceiling gave way beneath me, I plunged another 40 feet into the Elderhold below. Bryn hit the floor hard, fractures spiralling out across the flagstones. But as I plummeted after her, I found myself strong enough to seize one of the shattering rafters, slinging myself across the room as it collapsed. I landed in a crouch, still naked, tossing a whip of black hair from my face, blood spilling from the claw rents in my skin. "Peace, Manwas!" The Dusk Dancer roared, charging toward me, fangs bared and fists raised. I'd not smoked since early evening, but as Bryn bore down on me, I found my body flush with a new heat, a burning, feral rage rippling all the way to my fingertips, unlike any I'd known. The air sang as the dancer's claws scythed toward my head, but quick as silver, I seized her wrist and sent her sailing into the great carved lion holding up the roof. But not just sailing into it, sailing through it. The force so immense Bryn blew the timber to splinters and tore the pillar from its moorings. I blinked at my bare hands, astonished. I'd thrown the woman like she was made of... Gabe! I looked up, saw Phoebe peering through the hole in the ceiling. She'd tossed on her cloak, pale and bloodied but moving, and I sighed in relief. Are you all... The timber whistled as it sailed toward me, one of the massive wooden benches encircling the fire. I rolled aside, crying out as another followed the first, Bryn hurling them like spears. Coming to my feet, I dashed toward her, Phoebe roaring for Bryn to hold as she tore up another. But with that same untamed fire in my veins, I slipped aside, rolled beneath, and bringing up both my fists, I slammed them into the big Urfwill's jaw. The dancer flew like a sack of chaff, crashing right through the wall. I flew out after her, heart pounding now, body bristling. My heart was a dragon within my chest, breathing fell fire into my veins. It had been a year since I'd drunk so much blood, but I'd not felt so alive since, well, since forever. Cries rang across the cradle now, torches lit, clan folk shouting as they saw a naked silver saint and an enraged dancer brawling like thunder and lightning. Moon's maidens flew at me from all sides, silver blades gleaming. Again, I couldn't blame them. Far as they knew, a half-breed Coldblood had just beat shite out of a daughter of Fionn, desecrating their sacred site in the process. But still, I thought it a touch unfair when 20 came at me at once. "Peace, damn you! I meant no!" A silver blade arced toward my head, but in a blinking, I caught it, slap, right between my palms. With a twist, I snapped the blade like a twig, my backhand sending the Moon's Maid 50 feet across the ice. More dancers were charging to the fray now, great bear things and half-wolves and she-lions, but God, it seemed every mote of my blood was molten iron. With a shrug, I scattered a dozen slayers like straw. In a blink, I caught the clawed blow of a towering Urfwill at the wrist, punched him in the chest so hard, his ribs shattered. I moved like a wave, seething and crashing, catching more swords and shattering them in my bare hands, breaking bones and cracking skulls with just the tips of my fingers. And then, Keelan charged me. Phoebe had described her third cousin as a big pussycat, but as all 7 feet and 500 pounds of the red wrath flew at me, he looked as far from a kitten as I from a saint. His talons skimmed my chest as my punch broke his jaw. My knuckles tore his face as his backhand clipped my head. The flames burning inside me were like nothing I'd known. My whole world washed red now, red, red. But as I heard Phoebe screaming my name as the realization I was taking on the entire cradle and winning dawned upon me, another revelation crashed down, heavier and headier and far, far darker. Jean-Francois leaned forward, chocolat eyes shining. "And that was? You tell me, cold blood. You had drunk your fill, true. Yet you are only pale blood, the lion, and you'd just fought this entire moot of mongrels to a standstill. Unarmed, no less." The historian smiled, sly and wicked. "You were stronger than you should have been. Far stronger. But why?" "Because you had drained Phoebe Adonzer almost dry, just as you had scratched her lip as you kissed in Ravenspire, just as you bit young Bryn when you fought her in the woods. A few drops back then, to best 3 silver saints or an enraged Urfwill warrior unarmed. A belly full now, to best an entire village of Highland slayers single-handed." The historian smiled wider, twirling his quill through his fingers. "Because ever you are slave to passion, de Leon. And it seems the sin of lust serves you as well as the sin of pride." "Well," Gabriel leaned back in his chair, smiling, "it was my favourite." "Phoebe," I roared, looking up to the tower, "bring my bandle." Keelan came on like hell unleashed, bounding across the ice on all fours, sailing toward me like a thunderbolt. But with a cry, I caught the red wrath mid-air, slung him into the effigy of Lannis, that great stone angel, holding her crescent toward the heavens. Keelan struck like a barrel of black ignis, smashing the stone to splinters. The figure of the moon goddess shuddered, cracking across her wings. Blood sprayed, bone shattered, and as Keelan collapsed in a heap beneath the statue, all hell broke loose. The impact had cracked the granite, the base splitting like clay. As someone screamed, the crack spread farther, the great stone goddess tottering like a 3-pint drunkard at last call. The statue began to fall with the awful hymn of sundered stone, folk about it scattering, moon's maidens and dancers and all mothers fleeing its descent. But beneath it, right in its path, lay poor Bryn, still bleary and bloodied, only just now dragging herself up from the snow where I'd punched her. I cried out, charging toward her. The shadow fell over my back, 40 feet and God knew how many tons of stone headed right for us as I flew. With a deafening roar, the goddess fell, shattering the ground and the walls of the Elderhold, stone, dust and snow, rubble and ruin. And as it settled, there I lay beside it upon the broken ground, gasping, covered in snow and blood, a bleeding Bryn groaning and concussed in my arms. Figures gathered around me, hundreds now, all set to rip me to ribbons. I rose to my feet, blood still aflame, as Angus Abaran squared up and let loose an earth-shaking roar. Hold! It was Phoebe who bellowed, voice ringing clear in the night. She stood atop the fallen moon goddess, clad only in her cloak, blood spilling down her punctured throat. She'd seen it as clear as I while she watched me demolish her kin, the revelation giving her wings despite the fact I drank her near to dying. And in her hand, she clutched my bandolier, holding it aloft for the outraged gathering to see. "Dead shall rise, and stars shall fall," she cried, pointing to the sky. "Weald shall rot to ruin of all," she called, pointing to the dark woods around us. "Lions roar and angels weep," she shouted, pointing to me, the broken statue. She reached into the bandolier. "Sinners' hands our secrets keep." And then she drew out the answer to the riddle. How the hell had the Divok crushed the Oswey in only 2 years, where before they'd been foundering over a decade in quagmire? "A golden vial," Jean-Francois said, "that once a wolf mother wore." Gabriel nodded. I'd known there was blood inside it, soured, true, but I'd smelled it in the white rabbit. That same maddening scent now slicked upon my hands, upon my tongue, imbuing me with a strength far beyond anything I'd ever known. Jean-Francois ran his tongue across his lips. "Dusk dance our blood." It had deepened the potency of my own. I couldn't fathom it at first. If the blood of wieldlings was so special, how had it been kept undiscovered by Saint Michon, by hedge mages and chemists, by the dead themselves? And then I realized it had not always been so. Their blood had changed with the fall of Day's Death, historian. Their Earth Father ascendant and corrupted, their Mother Moons veiled, the beast in them stronger than it should have been and making those who drank from them stronger still. "The time of blighted blood," the historian murmured. The last Silver Saint nodded, smiling. All eyes were on Phoebe now, standing atop that broken stone with that golden vial in hand. And as she met my eyes, I saw fire in her own, a righteous fury, a dark triumph. The clans of the Moon's Throne were hopelessly fractured, riven with rivalry, but the song she'd sung to me rang in my head now, the truth at the raging heart of these people. "I war with my sister until, we war with our kinfolk until, we war with the Highlands until, we war with the world." "Brothers and sisters of the Moon's Throne," Phoebe cried, "a truce struck with traitors is nae truce at all. An oath to a lawyer is worth less than nothing. And I tell you now, by moons above and earth below, we are all of us betrayed."
"What in Maleth's name do you speak of, woman?" Keelan demanded.
Phoebe threw the vial to the big dancer, tossing back her braids. "I speak of the dead, cousin. I speak of black heart and heartless, of Dunmere again fallen, and oaths broken, and godlings found." She looked around the gathering, fire in her golden eyes. "I speak of war."